First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on your road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. Postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you use. And of course,
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast. Hello, Twitch room. And hello, YouTube.com/UpNext.
Yes.
Hello, folks. Hello, friends.
Yes, it is Braden and Davey. We are your Up Next friends. Oh, no, we're your NXT friends.
Friends.
Yeah. We're the only people that watch NXT and talk about it every week, and we'll never stop doing that. And we're here to talk about some NXT 2.0. Boy, it was an episode.
What an episode. Tape show.
Tape show.
Which meant...
I don't read ahead.
Which meant we got to see two dimes. Two more times.
Two more dimes until we have zero dimes.
Zero dimes, yeah.
Yeah, pour one out.
Pour one out.
It's not a goodbye. It's just a goodbye for right now.
For right now. Policies.
Policies. Yeah, what does that mean?
Not much has come out, has it? So, no. Yeah, right off the bat. Huge breaking NXT news. This week, Troy Two Dimes Donovan got released.
Zero dimes.
But he put out a statement kind of like saying, like, this sucks, but I'll hopefully be back. It was, what, thank you to everyone who's reached out. Mistakes happen and lessons are learned. A bump in the road doesn't define me, though. I'll be back. The little, what is that, a wolf emoji?
Cowboy hat emoji?
No.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Yeah, so...
Yeah, pouring out. We barely knew ye.
We barely knew ye.
Two dimes. You were here for two dimes. Damn. Yeah, but they taped NXT for tonight and next week, so we do still see two dimes on television. So, and he gets a promotion next. The way they write him off tonight, actually,
soldier.
They pretty much tell him he's going to go for dinner. I don't know if you've seen the movie Goodfellas, but that's what's going to happen to him.
I hope they do write him off like that.
Yeah, he walks in like Joe Pesci with the Cruise and Wild behind him. Like, sorry, bud.
Cruise and tangos.
Closed casket for two dimes. Jeez, pour one out. Guests, welcome to Up Next. We watch NXT every week, and then we talk about it here on the show. If you listen to us via podcast, hit that subscribe. Write a nice little review for us. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, hit that subscribe/follow. We still have not gotten to 1,000. We thought, guys, why aren't you hitting that sub on YouTube? We ask so little of you.
Yeah, about 10 people did it. That's bullshit.
Disgraceful.
That's fucking bullshit.
You don't like us anymore? What's going
on? What happened?
Yeah. We, just because NXT is in the mud doesn't mean we're in the mud, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Go hit that subscribe.
Mud.
Help us get out the mud with 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's not a hard task. Go do it.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow night chatting all about Dynamite. And, I mean, the talk of wrestling right now is what seems to be the talk every few years in the cycle of Jeff Hardy. DUI.
Yeah. Really, really disappointing.
Yeah.
Look, it's obviously alcoholism is like a disease, addiction. Like, it's awful. But, like, why the fuck are you driving, Jeff? Like, it sucks he's, like, off the wagon, but, like, come on. Like, don't drive.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy. Like, I can afford an Uber.
It's what,
to go somewhere if I'm drinking. Like, get a driver. You can. It's bad.
Yeah, it's very odd. As fans of this guy for years, you know, I've talked on the show. I've been so supportive of his, like, AEW. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait. As a fan, it's exciting. And to see this again, it's like, again, you're, like, doing this and kind of, like, it's heartbreaking for some of the fans who've been following him and kind of given up on him. And then we all love a comeback story, but then he does it again. And again, it's happened. The Sting match in TNA, like, it's happened. And, yeah, as someone who's just been watching this guy for years, you're just like, man – it's not even to the fact that you're, you know, drinking or, you know, partying or whatever. This guy is going out there week by week, like, almost looking like he is trying to hurt himself at this point. And alcohol or drugs.
That's going to drive you back to it, isn't it?
Like, of course.
Say what you will about his WWE run. He was kind of – didn't do a lot of crazy shit in that latest run. And where
he threw piss on Sheamus, though. That was
But like now he's been back, what, like two months in AEW, and it's every week he's jumping off shit. He's taking back bumps on steel steps and
so like
crazy things like that.
But
it's gonna drive you back, no?
But still, it's the actual you're driving. Like, sorry, you've already said it. Like, you know, you get an Uber, you get a Lyft. There's so many different ways. You have your boys. Yeah. Who are you with that let you go do that? Like, you know, we have friends, we have nights out, and some of the boys are like, oh, I'm fine to drive. No, actually, we have a couch. You're staying here.
Yeah.
Sleep for 5 hours and then drive home. Like, what's going on? And the video to, like, come out on TMZ, it's such a bad look. And, yeah, we all have a comeback story. We definitely need this guy. They've put out the statement with TK finally saying, like, yeah, he's suspended without pay. He's going to be hopefully taking the proper – yeah, just don't be driving. This happened with Kurt Angle in TNA forever. It's like, wait a second. This is at a tape place. Like, just have a driver.
You almost feel there's that thing with Jeff where as soon as something's getting good –
yeah.
You know, like, this happens. Like,
yeah.
It's happened before when, he left WWE the first time at kind of the peak of his career, and then it's always these big opportunities.
It's so, again, yeah.
It's
so
crazy, like, this awesome AEW, like, thing with the triple threat ladder match. Like,
yeah.
Iconic, kind of calling back to their, like, golden age, you know, and this happens. It's, you feel it's almost reactionary to it.
It's sad. And as someone, you know, a lot of people can understand, like, following this person for so long, these are characters on TV, but then they're actually real people. And that's definitely where wrestling, like, blurs those lines. And of course, wrestling and wrestlers have such bad track history. I mean, it's like not uncommon in this industry, but it's just so, so strange. Like, you still driving and doing this when it's not that hard? Even if you're, you know, maybe you're driving from town to town, why aren't you, like, buddied up with people who take your turns and stuff? Just no excuse, honestly, for this kind of behavior. We just had Sunny recently. What, didn't she
kill
someone doing this? So, like, yeah, it's no joke. So,
like, when it comes to, like, drink driving and stuff, I had a friend who, wasn't drinking, but someone jumped in front of her car.
Ridiculous.
You know, like, even if you feel you are the most confident person in your abilities at that point, I've only had a few or whatever, you also don't know what's going on around you. You know, like, other shit can happen and you're fucked. Like, if my friend had a couple of drinks that day, this guy decided to jump in front of her car, she'd be responsible for that.
It's ridiculous.
And
it's
like, yeah.
No, it's sad. Obviously, it's like, hey, we hope that he can beat this again, but right now he needs to focus, like, on himself, not wrestle right now.
Wrestling can't even be thought about now. Like,
yeah.
And even if he does go to rehab for, 6 months, like, you feel this guy needs a break, like a proper break.
He does. 100%. But, yeah, I mean, that's the big news in wrestling right now, and it just feels like every few years it's this story. But, hope this guy can find his thing, because it was on a nice run here with Matt Hardy and everything, and Matt's put out some tweets about it, and of course, you know, he's upset, but just, yeah.
What had Matt said?
He just was like, yeah, I heard this news, and he obviously wasn't with Jeff, and, you know, it's not on Matt Hardy. It's on Jeff Hardy for getting behind the wheel 100%, and he's done it before, so it's not cool. And Jeff Hardy is one of the ones, like, yeah, put your dukes up, you know? Like, I hope he can find the help, and when he comes back, I hope we get that comeback story, but... really just, like, again, you go, oh man, this wrestling thing, dark side of the ring, WWE kind of stopped that process. And now it looks like Vice is going to be making more heartfelt wrestling documentaries. But Jeff Hardy, you know, we were all hoping we don't get that dark side of the ring.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy episode. I hope he finds, some peace there.
Me
I
too.
Hope, yeah, honestly. So we can get that ladder match in a year, 2 years, you know?
Let's not think about the ladder match.
Well, they've announced that it's just the 2-on-2, Bucks versus them. So we'll
chat. Which will be great.
Yeah.
Which will be awesome. And also announced Dax Harwood versus Will Ospreay.
There you go. Which is crazy. Yeah. Every week we cover NXT on this show, but we do BD Elite as well on this feed, chatting all about Dynamite. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. It'll be out on this feed. On this free feed, Shot in the Dark, John Cena, talking all about all the other wrestling that goes on that you may or may not know, like Impact and NXT UK and everything else. He covers it in 15 minutes or less and fills you in so you can know everything that's going on. But then, if you want to listen to more of us, patreon.com/upnext is where you can go, because we have a huge month. We just did a review of WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah.
Talking all about Chester McChester, Cheesington Chester guy.
Cheesy McCheeserton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We chat all about the Hardcore Battle Royal, your second favorite match of all time.
Second favorite.
It holds up, or does it?
I don't think I can watch it in chill, though. Not quite like Andrade V. Almas.
No, true, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't go over as well. We chatted with World Champ patron B. Detroit, where he picked that, and he joined us later on in the show to chat all about that and Attitude Era moments and faves and stuff like that. Then we also did a 40th anniversary review of John Carpenter's The Thing, which was a ton of fun. So go check that out if you're into the horror stuff. And
Kurt Russell.
I was going to say Kurt Russell Crowe.
Kurt Russell Crowe.
No, just Kurt Russell. And then we have a crazy week this week.
Well, yeah. Like, we put together the schedule. We kind of sent it to each other, send it to some friends to look over, check there's any mistakes. And then setting up for this week's shows.
We were like, hey, what are we doing?
Hang on. We're missing a week on our schedule.
You missed a complete week.
And no one spotted it. So we've gone back to some of our world champions to find out what they wanted us to review. And, well, we've got a certain 20th anniversary of TNA Wrestling coming up with Slammiversary this weekend. So we're going to be talking about
my favorite TNA pay-per-view ever, because it was the only TNA show I ever went to.
And Andrew McDonald from, Cape Breton, his favorite wrestling show, TNA Destination X 2007, featuring such matches as
Samoa Joe versus Christian Cage
in
the main event.
That sounds good.
What else is there? There's the Elevation X match, AJ Styles and Rhino. It's basically a scaffolding match. Mm-hmm. Most people try to either remember or forget the Last Rites match, Sting and Abyss. Can't wait to chat all about this. I went to Florida for a vacation. I was probably 15 or 16 around the time. And just so happened that there was this pay-per-view happening in Florida while I was there. So I remember begging my dad, like, please, it's free. Let's go. I'm going to talk all about that while we chat all about that show this week.
Is it Kurt Angle, Scott Steiner?
Kurt Angle, Scott Steiner.
I've not seen this show.
The Heartthrobs are on the show. You don't even know who they are. Exactly. Right. It's going to be crazy talking all about TNA Destination X. Yeah, it's the only show I was at, and I've joked about it on the show before, and clearly our world champ patron, Andrew, heard that and thought, why not chat all about
that? I know there are TNA fans out there.
You TNA fans.
Yeah, love your feedback on that one. And just today we recorded a show that's going to be released very soon with world champion Corey Landega, who picked for us Uncharted.
Yeah.
Just came out this year, starring Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, Antonio Banderas.
Zorro.
Yeah. We recorded this earlier. I had a lot of fun talking about this video game movie adaptation. And I'm sure a bunch of you listening have played the games or seen the film. So check that one out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's like Indiana Jones, James Bond, kind of younger vibes, and I don't know, just a lot of fun action sequences. It was a lot of fun. I don't know much about the games, but watching the movie today, doing the review, I had a blast. So that's coming out on the Patreon as well. $5, you get access to all these shows, all the retro NXT reviews, all the movie reviews, best match ever, everything in the back catalog. It's only $5 to access. That's pennies per podcast. Go check us out. You won't regret it.
You will not. No.
It's only $5.
Do it.
Go support us and listen to all these podcasts at your fingertips. I was trying to think of what other things. We have NXT, of course, that's happening. We got Road Rager. We're on the road to Blood and Guts because that's something we got to look forward to. We're also going to be going to Demand Lucha.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that. What is it? Ninja Mac, Gringo Loco, and Speedball?
Yes.
In a match? That's in Toronto, so go look for that.
A couple of weeks?
Yeah, Demand Lucha on Thursday the 26th. I'm forgetting things now because there's the Forbidden Door that looks like a forbidden mess. We'll talk about that on BD Elite, I think. But what about the big thing happening? You know, I don't watch a lot of Raw, but I heard this crazy news and I think they got me hooked. I'm going to have to tune into Raw. They're teasing Elias.
Elias is back.
The return of Elias. So is it going to be Miz Dow, Damian Sandow coming out with the beard?
Wait, what?
Like, how are they going to do this?
How is he? I mean, Elias could have shaved.
Yeah, but then it's no. I think he comes out with a beard.
He's got a fake beard on.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to do this.
I think you could do a Elias fake beard pretty well.
You could put a fake beard on.
Yeah, and just his old attire and everything.
I'm just thinking we're all being bamboozled, and this is like a prestige.
I'm
this
with
is
you.
Like some.
I'm with you. If there were two,
If there's two of them,
yeah,
it'd be crazy. It's too bad it wasn't the pandemic era where you could just film these things and then show the
holograms.
Holograms.
I mean, they've got
thing?
The hologram of Roman every week, haven't they?
So, yeah, I think so.
Well, not every week anymore.
But, yeah. Damn, I'm excited. I'm excited to see the return of Elias, to see what they do. Greatest storyline going in the film.
I am enjoying it. It's ridiculous. But I think, like, them and... Sorry, them. As if it's like Elias and Ezekiel.
What do you mean?
Yeah, the brothers and Kevin Owens are, like, really pulling this one off.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, that's really all that I can think of. Yeah, we'll chat all about the Dynamite stuff tomorrow. But let's talk about NXT.
Well, I'm about to try some Pinot Grigio out of a carton for this one, because, oh boy, I think I need it.
Honestly, today was... this is not a good episode of NXT.
I'm normally the high man on NXT 2.0.
Yeah, I wasn't high enough.
I give it the benefit of the doubt, but, oh boy, let's get into it. NXT, June 14th, 2022, from the Capitol Wrestling Center. And we're opening right away... Creed Brothers versus Idris Onofi and Malik Blade for the NXT Tag Team Championships. No entrances. We're getting right to the action. We see the rest of Diamond Mine, Roderick Strong, Ivy Nile, and Damon Kemp backstage watching the match. Onofi has a nice-looking submission applied to Julius, but Julius manages to power out, drags him to his corner to tag in Brutus. They do their gut-wrench suplex to Brutus on top of Onofi. Spot, which always looks good. Brutus then has this front chancery applied for quite a long time until Onofi manages to counter it with a nice-looking Northern Lights suplex. The Creeds then deliver their kind of to-and-fro knees to the gut of Malik, and then Julius with a, like, just this, like, forward roll somersault taking out the legs of Idris and Malik. Looked a little weird. There's then a nice big dropkick from Onofi. Onofi catches Brutus with a knee to the jaw, and they replayed this. I kind of clocked
him
there.
Looked like he hit him, yeah.
This allows Onofi and Blade to double team. Onofi then climbs to the top and hits this elbow drop. It looked a little odd. He kind of like...
Missed him?
Yeah, a little bit. Julius then comes in with all his crazy suplexes. Blade goes for a top rope crossbody, but Julius catches him. And it looks like he's going to, like, do the roll through and then hoik him onto his shoulders for that, like, cartwheel Death Valley driver he does. But he kind of drops him and then sets up and hits that move, followed by the lariat from Brutus, and the Creeds win and retain. And after the match, the Creeds pick up Idris and Malik and shake their hands, give them a hug. Show respect.
I want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love both teams. Specifically, the Creeds have been my highlight of 2.0. For just weeks now, especially since they kind of conquered that mountain. They got the titles now. They challenged these up-and-comer kind of enhancement talent team that have been kind of putting on some good matches. But something about this match just didn't really mesh well. I don't know if someone did get clocked in the match that kind of set it off.
You did see, like, at the end, Julius had, like, a bit of a bloody forehead as well. So
yeah, maybe I was expecting just, you know, maybe I wasn't expecting a 20-minute match or a 10-minute match even. I just was expecting, like, good wrestling, because I know both teams can bring it. Again, especially the Creeds. But I just thought it was kind of just, this guy does some things. There's a drop kick here. Okay, more of the side slams. It just kind of felt a little messy.
It felt really clunky to me. And I think maybe both teams were just having a bit of an off day, because Idris and Malik have shown, like, I mean, they're normally on the losing side, but they've shown... some good flair and some kind of cool moves and stuff. We love the Creed brothers. But yeah, there were quite a few slips, a few sort of just breaks in action.
Yeah, it didn't hit like the Creeds usually do.
Yeah, it felt clunky to me. And I think Idris and Malik especially looked a little awkward in this one.
I feel like there's a way better match. Again, love these guys, but something definitely felt a little off. But so, the Creeds, just a little misstep.
Disappointing. We see Indy Hartwell, Cora Jade, and Roxanne Perez backstage. And Cora and Roxanne are just kind of talking about all these things they did as friends. Oh, remember when that happened? And
remember when we forgot my gear?
Yeah, oh my God, that was so funny.
They're and like talking about last year.
Yeah.
When they weren't here.
And Indy just says, oh, I remember having a friend. and like loving someone. And as the wily veteran around here, I'll tell you that this place is crazy. And Cora's like, wily veteran, you're 25, not 45. And she says, well, don't, and Cora's, sorry, Roxanne's telling her to not overcompensate and that she's feeling like the third wheel of this team when she shouldn't, because we all have something in common, and that's hating toxic attraction.
Yeah, wily veteran, Indy Hartwell.
It's kind of true, though. Like, yeah. It feels like she's been there a long time now when you compare to everyone else. So, yeah, she is a veteran of NXT at 25.
And she's not right. Like, she's spitting facts here saying this place is crazy.
Yeah.
Because it is insane. She's seen some shit.
Someone
here in
thinks
NXT.
He's running a university here. Like, yeah.
She was in a superhero group.
Yeah.
She was in love with a murderer.
Yeah.
Her friend got fired. Her friend was with Duke. I don't know what that storyline was all about. But yeah, it's just all over the place. But the wily veteran at 25. Love it. Indy deserves better, I think, than this. Put her on the main roster and see what happens.
Well,
she's great.
I think they're trying with, like, they're going for that Mandy match, aren't they? So they're giving her something. But this was just to, like, kind of show this team together before the main.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, whatever.
Speaking of mains.
So.
Did you order a main?
A main? Well, yeah. I mean, no one's getting anything at this diner.
No.
Apollo Crews has picked up where Draco Anthony left off, and he's
his coffee
drinking some coffee in a diner.
Literally probably the same place.
Diner.
Yeah. Not a rainy day, though.
Good. And it's also kind of in that sort of film noir-esque style that Draco Anthony had.
I would not call it that, but yeah.
You know what I mean, right? It's this voiceover as Apollo Crews is sat at this diner looking pensive. He's going,
life is a seesaw.
Yeah, life is a seesaw, full of setbacks, but time moves forward. I've had great moments in WWE, as you're seeing all these clips of
him on Main Event and Superstars.
Some moments he had in WWE.
The drum match.
But I hear this echo in my soul. Three letters.
NXT.
When I heard my music last week, time stood still. And then this is kind of interrupted because Apollo sees this guy being really shitty to the server. He's like going, hey, where's my food?
It's taking forever. It's where's taking my food? Forever. Where's my dinner?
To be fair to this guy, there's about four tables in this diner and none of them have food yet.
Yeah.
So maybe. Like, it looks like Apollo's written quite a lot in the time he's been there waiting. So maybe this guy's got a point.
Yeah.
But Apollo decides to get up, goes over to him, and says, do we have a problem? This guy goes, get out of my face! And then Apollo grabs him and slams his head on the table. But then it flashes back to him, sat, writing his little diary. He's thinking of murdering this guy. And then it replays, and we see this guy being shitty to the server again. So he gets up, walks over, says, do we have a problem? The guy's like, ah, get out of my face! But this time, it's Apollo kind of heading towards the camera. So, like, I guess fuck this guy up.
Imagine you're just at a diner and you're like, hey, sorry, like, it's been, like, 30 minutes. Hey, sorry. Okay, it's been an hour. Excuse me, like, where's my food? Hey, do we have a problem? I'm hungry. What the fuck was this?
This is bizarre.
Look, we've seen some shit on NXT, but like, pardon my French, but this was bad.
I thought I was really high on Apollo's debut last week. Wow. I thought he got a great reaction from this crowd.
Holy.
I thought he looked great, sounded one of his best promos he's done, and I was kind of optimistic. I'm like, okay, this guy could do with that NXT run. And it's true. Like, some of the stuff here he's saying is, yeah, he moved up too soon. And,
oh my God.
But this was so cheesy. Like, I didn't get the setting. Like, is he
Arnold's diner?
Is he mad? Like, is he
what's he doing? And he's just getting mad at other people. Like yeah, the guy isn't being mad to your server. And guys, you know, be respectful to your servers. If it's 30 minutes and it's not out, you know.
I did work with a guy once who said, like, I used to get, like, drunk, would go into a McDonald's and wait for, like, someone to be shitty to the server and then be like, what the fuck, man? And, like, stand up for the server and at McDonald's and be like, this kid's just doing his job, like, fuck off and get in their face until he got his jaw broken.
I mean, yeah.
So I think it's Apollo. He's like, he just wants a fight.
He's like Taxi Driver. He's just going out trying to find
trying
problems.
To fight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is terrible. Whoever came up with this should feel bad.
Yeah.
That's how I'll put it. I don't know what this is.
For me, it like pulled the wind from
instantly.
Apollo.
Get out of here. Go right back to the diner. Go back to the Riverdale diner.
There's something about this diner, isn't there? Like they really wanted it for Draco Anthony and then released him.
It was already funny when he's writing down. He's like J.K. Rowling with the notes at the diner, writing down his whatever. That's already funny because it's just him like at a diner writing things down. It's like, okay, what does this have to do with wrestling? Yeah. Okay, but we'll let it play out. Okay,
like the echo in my soul, like NXT is cheesy, but you're like, all right, okay, you're coming back.
And then it just went totally left field with him interrupt like this guy with the food, and it's just so funny. I like
what
every
did
time
he do to this guy.
He murdered him.
And why did it replay? It showed him murder him, and then that's a good idea. Maybe and then he just murdered him.
Like multiverse of crews. Like different... It's like the...
We're going to replay this next week, and he's like, going to do some mail soon.
But like his multiverse is like different versions of him do different things, and it like can lead to... It's like a, you know, choose your own adventure.
All right.
It's Apollo Crews. It's terrible. It already...
I choose he leaves the diner.
Yeah, I choose we don't do this anymore. We should not do this. Really weird. It definitely instantly deflated that, like, excitement because it was just so funny. It's so cheesy when it wasn't supposed to be that. NXT keeps one-upping themselves with these promos. It feels like ages ago when we were mocking Brooks and Briggs, Jensen
Now Briggs. They're the best thing on the show.
and then we you know, we had Kyle O'Reilly and Vaughn hanging out in the woods
because
they're out there. And then
we've had Joe Gacy for a few months.
Yeah, we've had Kushida in the washroom. And then just this guy at the diner picking fights with people. Like, what? It's just very, very strange. Yeah, this is how you're trying to get a wrestler character over, like, just not it at all, but hilarious because this is what someone got paid to write this.
You know what would have worked? Just like a sit down interview with Apollo Crews.
Yeah, I'm back. I had some great moments. I had some bad moments. I'm here to come back. Someone interrupts him. I don't know. Just him in a diner is hilarious. Bad.
We go to a rematch between Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley. Rematch from the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. I kept on thinking Owen Hart Tournament.
No, that's the other show.
That's the other show. As Tiffany's making her entrance, we see Wendy Chu bouncing behind her on a space hopper.
What's a space? Is that like a yoga ball thing?
It's one of those bouncy balls where you hold the antenna and bounce.
Is that what they're called?
I've always known them as a space hopper.
Space hopper.
What do you know them as?
I don't know. It's a big bouncy... I guess you're right. I just think yoga balls.
I think
handles.
Didn't Vic call him a hoppity hop?
Vic Joseph probably called it a hoppity hoppity
double noggin knocker. Says things.
Vic always has the. You know what we're talking about.
Wendy Chu on the space hopper.
Yeah, so she comes out on the space hopper.
Yeah, just like casually behind Tiffany during her entrance.
Nice.
Yeah, so Tiffany traps Fallon in the apron, starts beating her down, throwing her around. Tiffany does her knees off the top rope somersault, senton for a two count. She then applies this kind of like full Nelson to Fallon, but using the legs and then bridges to apply even more pressure. This submission I thought looked really cool. I've not seen it before and thought it looked great.
Yeah, pretty impressive moves from Tiffany here. Fallon, too, early on hit her with a nice stiff chop as well, showing some guts. But Tiff was showing off with, like, this interesting submission hold. Like, yeah, I guess the legs and the strength in her legs to be able to, like, lock in this thing. It looked like it would – it's not just, like, a flashy show.
No, it was really pushing the head down and pulling the arm back. Like, this would hurt. I thought this was
like
great.
A surfboard, stretch muffler or something. I don't know.
There's then the full-away slam and kip up from Tiffany when Wendy Chu – bounces down the ramp and
on the space hopper
and throws confetti at Tiffany.
She confetti guns Tiffany in the face.
It's like the slushy, but she's like, psych, it's just confetti.
Yeah, you know how you can send confetti to people these days? It's an envelope, it opens and it...
And this allows Fallon Henley to roll up Tiffany for the win.
I mean, glass half full, we got a win for Fallon.
Yeah.
So that's good. Because I actually do see a lot in Fallon.
I like her.
However, the glass half empty is there's more of this like silliness of the Wendy Chu, and this match was probably like 2 minutes long.
Yeah, I definitely preferred their match in the tournament earlier. Like, sure. And that's why I was kind of mad, because I know we can get more from these two. Tiffany still, like, even though it was a short match, impressed with kind of like the innovative submission. And Fallon looks great, but I hate this Wendy Chu stuff. Like, you've just been in the title picture. You've just, like, you had the opportunity to be the champion of your division, and you didn't win. So you're just back to, you're like, you don't care. Just bounce around on space. Yeah. It's stupid. Why are you picking on Tiffany?
Yeah, I thought.
Leave her alone.
I thought with the loss to Mandy, maybe she'd go evolve the character a little bit, but jumping around on this baby toy.
It's just childish, like, yeah. And it's.
I want to love it, because it's fun. Like, you know, she's trying to be funny and bubbly and stuff, but the fact is she's actually a really good wrestler, and it's just stupid.
Ruining good matches.
Yeah. Yeah, really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting the Wendy Chu Tiff rematch, so.
Yeah.
I like Tiff. I'll say it again. Stratton makes it happen.
I like both of these.
Yeah, Fallon too.
Yeah, so this wasn't good. And then we go to Cameron Grimes backstage. We haven't seen him since dropping the North American title. And there's a bunch of jobbers backstage.
Bunch of next in line talent.
Congratulating him on the match at In Your House and saying, it's too bad you lost, but great match. Grimes says, I'm not looking for sympathy. And then Bron Breakker, the champ, is there. And he says, look, I know what it's like to lose a title, and I'm sure you'll be champ again one day. Grimes says, once again, I'm not looking for sympathy. And that's when Duke Hudson comes in and starts...
Pops up his chest.
Yeah, showing off about his win over Bron a few weeks ago. And Bron says, all right, well, how about I give you a rematch, and this time for the title. So Bron says NXT title match tonight. And Duke's like, all right, let's do it.
Rematch. This time the title on the line.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, this sets up what we think is going to happen with Grimes kind of being a little testy there with him.
Well, this is kind of ties to that last thing. Wendy Chu lost the title match and is exactly the same character. Grimes is different. He's evolved. We've seen him be the like cocky, arrogant, spending all the money guy,
right,
to being a bit humbled by that and like, okay, I'm going to turn my life around and be a bit better, to having that moment to now like being the next stage. He seems more mature than he was, but
he's pissed
and wants to do something about it. So yeah. I thought this was interesting, Grimes showing up and his little interaction with Bron.
Someone in the Twitch chat, shout out Fibergrass, says, going back to Wendy Chu, how was Wendy Chu shooting the confetti in the face of Tiffany Stratton, not a DQ? Good
ref
question.
Ref wasn't looking.
Was the ref not looking?
I don't think the ref was looking.
Oh, that ref, man.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Good question, though. We have to ask, who's our ref?
We'll have to watch the replay.
Yeah.
We'll watch this again.
I don't
want to
watch that match.
We'll watch
again,
this episode
please,
again
no,
later.
No, definitely not.
We go to Lash Legend, who says, I am so done with Alba Fire and her ancient history, so let me just tell you all my history.
I'm really good at sports.
Yeah, she's just showing off. She's talking about her track and field experience, basketball, how every conference school wanted her. She went to a university in Texas.
No
she
way.
Transferred to Mississippi State, where she won some things. She got a lot of points in basketball.
She said she broke a lot of records.
Yeah. She drafted to the WNBA to Seattle.
Wow.
Then when COVID hit, she didn't want to be waiting around for the WNBA to start again.
I mean, no one cares about the WNBA. Yeah. I'm joking.
I mean, she picked 2.0 over it, so.
I'm joking. But, I mean, she makes it sound that way when she says, like, yeah.
COVID hit, so I went to NXT.
I left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? I always like when they do this, actually, just showing everything. Like, this is, an athlete showing kind of their background and why they're there and stuff.
They never really did that when she first showed
no.
up. Remember, we knew all about her, but they never told us that on the show. So
I think this is a good move.
And a good reset.
She does sound good, I think. She sounds pretty confident.
I did laugh because I think she could lean in on the, like, screw your ancient history, Alba Fire. Like, you know, kind of go off on that.
I just found it funny. It's like,
yeah, you're talking about all these things you've done.
Yeah, and your ancient family history of the fire in Scotland. Well, let me tell you about my good records in sports.
Can run real fast.
Yeah, JR would love calling last legend matches.
Yeah.
Well, she run this far. She played this. Just going off.
Defensive line.
Exactly. JR would go a field day.
Yeah.
All the records Lash Legend has broken.
We go to a huge rematch next. Zion Quinn taking on Wes Lee. Wes Lee picking up that win after Zion had beaten him down.
Yeah, just a quick roll-up and beat him, yeah.
So Wes Lee goes for the roll-up immediately this time, but Quinn powers out, goes for the powerbomb, but Lee rolls through. Then Quinn dumps Lee on the top rope. Like on his gut, and we've seen him do this before where he'll like throw the rope and like Wes would go flying back, but this time he lands on his feet and Lee runs the ropes, runs into Quinn, who just stands there with his arms folded, knocking him down. And then Quinn starts showcasing his strength. He's throwing Wes around everywhere. Then Wes does his backflip Pele kick to the head of Zion. And then goes up top and hits the spiral tap to win. Wes Lee beats Zion.
But this time more like definitive.
Decisively. Yeah.
Yeah, so like I liked how they teased the roll-up right away. I actually thought they should have done that again. And then you could have done the third match.
Well, last time it was a long beat down from Zion and then the roll-up.
But right as the bell rung here, Wes puts him in an inside cradle again.
Yeah.
And you could have it was a good tease. Zion, I still don't really see really much from him. Mm. I don't like the whatever character, run it straight thing he's doing. And the wrestling just isn't really there. I will still say he still looks the part. At least he found his gear and looks proper. Mm. He still looks like he could be a big deal, but the wrestling doesn't really show. The character work doesn't show. Really, this was just an actual good... We were like, why is Wes losing to this guy and getting bullied around? When it was just really a whole setup to just rebuild Wes up. And I think that, in a good way, it was something. And the spiral tap looked cool.
It did. And this felt like the end of this feud for now. Wesley's moving up to something better. So I was quite happy with the win, it being decisive in this one. Zion does some things that look all right, but he's got a long way to go, I think. Yeah. But could get there. We see Joe Gacy.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the woods with his mates.
His
mates in hoods. He says, the time has come. Now it's time to show the world what you can do.
What are these guys' names?
The Dyad.
Someone last week when we talked about the Dyad messaged us saying that it's a type of it's a tool that like delivery service drivers use. Mm. So maybe that's the name, because they're delivering the future. I have no idea.
All right. I thought it was... No, they said last week it's like things coming together as one.
Oh, you actually listened to what Joe Gacy's been saying for the past...
I reviewed the show, Brain, yeah.
I feel like for the past... Like, ever since the Braun feud, it's been the same mumbo-jumbo insert copy-paste promo. But yeah, he's the guys in hoods are going to fight tonight.
A sequence of two different monomers in a polymer.
Wow. Sounded like a haiku. That was beautiful. Yeah.
We go to Nathan Fraser, who's talking about his ancient history, how he grew up in Jersey, but not New Jersey.
Today I learned.
You didn't know about Jersey?
No.
Yeah, there's a place called Jersey.
No way. You're lying. You're pulling my leg.
Yeah. My friend lived in Jersey.
Your friend lived in Jersey?
A neighbor, like an old guy down the road. He was from Jersey.
So Nathan Fraser's from Jersey, but not New Jersey.
Not New Jersey.
Old Jersey.
The original Jersey.
OG Jersey.
And he says, it's part of England, but it's actually nearer to France. And I grew up by the beaches as a kid. I was always outside. Used to play soccer. But I was obsessed with WWE, and I knew I needed to be nearer to WWE. And like soccer, one chance is all he needs in NXT.
Yeah, at least it showed something from this guy, because so far he's just been the young kid. So
this was better than going, oh, it's so cool being here. I can't wait to wrestle this guy.
Yeah,
I like these kind of character pieces.
Yeah, I legit did not know that. Like, there was a Jersey that there's New Jersey. Is there any they both have beaches?
You know, there's a place called York in the UK as well.
Like New York?
No, just York.
Wow.
And New York's.
The new of it?
Yeah.
Wow, what else is there?
There's a Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. I'm learning a lot today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nathan Frazier. I want to go to Jersey.
You want to go to Jersey?
They should have a Jersey Shore, but, like, it's his Jersey.
There probably is something like that in Jersey.
I want to go.
Wear a jersey in Jersey.
With our mate Jersey.
With our mate Jersey.
This is a guy at the bar we go to, and every time we finish the show, it's late, but we try to make it to last call and just hang around. It's like our nice decompress. Yeah. And there's a guy there who always is wearing a jersey, so everyone at the bar always calls him Jersey. And it would be nice if we took Jersey while all wearing jerseys to go to Jersey.
Jersey, yeah. Listening to the Jersey Boys.
There we go.
Yeah. Sounds a trip.
What a Quite great a vacation this could be.
Look up flights to Jersey.
Jersey. You know, you learn a lot listening to this podcast, guys. Let me know if anyone else is as stupid as me and never knew that there was old Jersey.
Well, I said this before, but one of our first nights out, you just, like, pretty drunk, go, Davey, is there a place called Estonia?
This girl's
lying to me, saying she's from Estonia.
I was like, that's not a real place. You're lying. I've heard of fake numbers, but you're telling me you're from a fake country?
Oh, boy. The Dyad versus Javier Bardell and Dante Chen.
Back to NXT. Okay, so the Dyad?
Yeah.
The Dyad is the two hooded guys.
Yeah.
With Joe Gacy, and they're going up against... We've seen Dante Chen before.
We've seen Dante Chen. Have we seen Javier Bernal?
I feel like we have, but I don't recognize him, so enhancement talent here.
Like, they did the Javier Bardem and Gael Garcia Bernal.
I got that vibe from it, yeah.
Yeah. There's chance of Take Your Hood Off, directed at the Dyad.
Yeah, pro circumcision crowd here.
Yeah. They're in there...
Nothing's beating that tonight,
their
guys.
Red velvet tracksuit hoods.
So
with their masks.
So they have like the morph suit mask on, so that you can't see their face, but they can see through theirs. Yeah.
And they start off just stand there posing, doing the Joe Gacy hand, Mr. Burns pose. And Dante and Javier are like looking at them, like what the fuck. And then Dyad number one jumps them and is hitting these clotheslines and stuff. Dante and Javier manage to team up on Dyad 1, and then Dyad 2 tags in and is beating up Chen. Javier Bernal then lights up Dyad 1 with some kicks. There's then an atomic drop and side rush and leg sweep, and then it's like the kind of magic killer DDT thing from the Dyad.
Yeah, I mean,
assisted spike.
We don't know who these guys are, but they're hitting. A lot of teams use this, but the last team we saw this was 1-2.
Oni and
Biff.
Biff.
You heard it here first. They're back.
Sorry, Oni and Hoods. Same guy. Oni and Danny.
Oni and Danny, sorry. Yeah. They're in the hoods. No.
Yeah, I think one looked a little taller than...
Yeah.
Who do you... They definitely, like, a lot of people have been theorizing it's GYV.
Yeah.
And I would say they kind of disguise their wrestling as well. I wasn't completely clear who these two are.
Yeah, I'm not completely clear who, like... would be interested in this. It looks like so budget compared to what we normally see in wrestling. Like, this is worse than what we would see, especially in WWE. Like, you get guys with proper outfits and things.
Yeah.
I know I'm saying that, and like a year ago, we were talking about a guy in a Scream mask with Johnny Gargano and all that stuff, but at least that was a guy in a Scream. Like, I'm not saying that's better or worse, but like, this is just two guys in this, like, red velvety velour fucking hoods.
It feels like they've gone into like a costume cupboard, a props cupboard, and it's like, you've seen that on Tough Enough, where they go like, all right, go in the wardrobe of WWE and pull out some things, and what is your character going to be? That's what this feels like with all these
guys.
It's
like really bad, like, Halloween B-budget, Z-budget movie gimmick, and I'm wondering if it's all a setup to, like, make some big reveal of them as a new unit. I'm picturing that it's two new people that get revealed. But then he goes on and cuts a promo about, like, now they've seen the light.
Yeah,
they've been shitted on.
I feel GYV are the only two people that could be, unless it's anyone from UK. But, like, I can't see being someone new, because then a reveal would be, like, Satnam Singh? What? You know, like...
Yeah, the wrestling wasn't really good in this match. It was so
boring.
Stupid. This is so bad.
This is boring.
We're broken record on this episode. It's just saying everything's bad. Sorry. But like, this is not it at all. And the Joe Gacy thing, you figured it's run its course, but it really just continues on. And his promo afterwards is just, again, copy paste mumbo jumbo, saying these two guys, you know, never got anywhere, so now they've seen the light.
Yeah, he says, your negativity have made these two men feel inferior, and there are many people made to feel the same way. There's a schism between us and NXT 2.0, and there will be this until this becomes a place of acceptance and people believe our message. Just boring. Like, I'm so over it. And yeah, you're right. The wording made it sound like these are two people we know who, you know, everyone...
Schism. He's got to bring in a Tool song into his promos, of course. Classic. Just really bottom of the barrel, like, creativity, I think, which is sad, because we were, like, laughing at the woke character Gacy, but then also, like, hey, props to them for actually trying something like this. And then they just completely went in this direction, and it's hokey dollar store Halloween costumes and him cutting rip-off Bray Wyatt. Like, no wonder people call you rip-off Bray Wyatt. Like, I'm sorry, this is what your character literally is. And it's not Walmart. I've decided saying it's Walmart or Kmart version of Bray Wyatt is being far too nice.
I like Walmart.
Yeah, it's dollar. It is his Dollar Tree version. Like, sorry, we need to make sure we're clear on that, because I'm so over this character, this guy. I cannot stand this. But we can't wait for the big reveal of...
I like a mystery. Who the fuck are these guys?
And they're not GYV, because the last time we saw GYV, they weren't called that. Remember, their nameplate just said Drake and Gibson.
Drake and Gibson.
Like, fucking jobbers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, the best part of this whole thing was that we got Take Your Hood Off Chance.
Yes.
So, good stuff.
We go to my new favorite character in NXT 2.0, Sanger. What a guy this Sanger is. He's just chilling with Yulissa Leon and Valentina Feroz.
Cool.
Having a great fucking time, looking smart in his suit.
I do like Sanger.
With his nice curly mustache.
Yeah,
what a guy Sanger is.
Yeah, Sanger looks like he's going, trying to find people to go around the world in 80 days with that mustache. Yeah. I love Sanger now.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
So he's just chilling with Yulissa and Valentina. And
as the world's going crazy outside, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Zion Quinn walks in, and I didn't quite catch what Sanger said. Did he say, like, you lost to a stick, or
you lost to a stick?
Or no, it was. I felt like he, you know, there's a lot of
The Twitch chat's concerned. I just saw maybe four fire trucks go by out our window. I hope we're okay.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, did he say you wrestled a stick or someone small or something?
Well, he was talking about his loss to Wes Lee. But we've heard Sanger, like, in the past to Wes Lee when he was trying to be nice but kind of did the backhanded, like, oh, for a guy your size. So I feel like I didn't quite hear it, but it said something like you lost to a stick. And, well, Zion is, like, mad about this. It's like, you're not so tough. So Sanger just stands up and dwarfs this guy. And Sanger says, I think I found my match for next week, my first opponent.
Okay, so Sanger versus Zion next week.
With hopefully Yulissa and Valentina in his corner.
Be great.
I'd love that act. That sounds
Sanger
great.
And, yeah.
He's got to do the dance. No, they're doing the dance.
They do it while he stands and twirls his mustache.
Oh.
Ah, kayfabe-wise.
How we change just from Joe Gacy with these two guys in hoods to us being like, no, but this...
Trust this me, it's works. Sanger. This yeah, works. Sanger's it, guys. Strap the rocket to Sanger right now.
We go to a little video with Nikita Lyons, who says that she was ready to win that contract in the Women's Breakout Tournament, but a partially torn MCL took her out. We see videos of her training, getting back into shape. And it says, very soon you'll see this Lions roar. And yeah, it just says she's basically coming back pretty soon to NXT.
She's working out in the gym, getting fit. No nunchucks, though.
Oh, sorry. Knocked Out Films said in the Twitch chat, says,
guess you weren't running straight.
Yeah.
So he didn't make fun of Wes.
So he's funny as well. What a guy.
Sanger. We wish we were as classy and funny and charming as Sanger. Someone in the Twitch chat, Half K, is writing, hey, if NXT... is in Survivor Series, would you do an NXT 2.0 team, and who would you be on it? Sanga, obviously. Sanga. Five Sangas.
Yeah. I said Sanga, Valentina, and Ulyssa.
The two hooded guys.
Two hooded guys.
Yeah, I'm excited for Nikita.
Against Roman, Brock.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, they won't be on the show. It won't be a stadium show. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Nikita coming back. I mean, she kind of got screwed out of that tournament. I like how it shows like the knee brace on her now. She's like, oh, I'm hurt. I know the internet wrestling community kind of turned on Nikita because they kind of thought she was turning a little MAGA on them.
Right.
So maybe she'll have a redemption story here as well.
Right.
What can she do to win them back?
I don't know, Brayden.
Well, I can't wait to see her back in NXT.
What do you think?
More nunchucks.
Okay. Yeah. There you get it. Soul's racism. Just, is that what you're saying?
No. But sure, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sure, let's put it that way.
Okay. We go to the Tony D'Angelo... Fuck, this show is long. The Tony D'Angelo family, and Tony starts talking business, and was like, I want to tell you how I met this guy, Two Dimes. And I remember when I first met you at Matt Mancini's birthday party.
Nick Mancini's birthday party.
And what did he say? You whacked fish fingers right in his face?
Yeah, you walked and whacked Jackie fish fingers. Where'd you get that? I don't know. Yeah, he says he hit someone. He's bigging these guys up. He's talking like mafia movies.
He talks about stacks. I knew you when you were six, and I remember it just like it was yesterday. Because I picked the winner of the Kentucky Derby for your dad, and his business took off. And you've given everything to the family. And I now promote you from associates to soldiers of the family. And because business has been booming, this gift is a sign of appreciation from me to you. And he gives them both some fancy watches. And
I like how he gives them also like envelopes of money.
Yeah, he says to two dimes. He's like, hey... treat yourself to steak dinner with this. I mean, Two Dimes might need to keep hold of this for a bit. But then turns to Stax and goes,
hey,
take Marie somewhere nice.
Look, I mean, this shit is so cartoony, but take Marie to somewhere nice really was pretty funny.
Kisses him on both cheeks. And as for you, Santos, what the fuck is going on out there? Jeez. He goes, and as for you, Santos, and Santos steps forward and kind of Joaquin and Cruz flank him. And he's like, no, wait, why are you doing that? He's not the boss anymore. You stand in a line. I'm the boss. He says, we have a code of honor. Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut. Understood? He shakes Legado's hand. And he says he has the best family. And now he wants to be a champion. And he wants gold around his waist. And that's when Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams interrupt and they say, hey, Tony, I didn't hear you talking about my A championship, did I? You don't want no problems with me or my title. Tony says, you've been warned, stay out of my business. And Trick says, we don't take too kindly for threats. And as great as you think you are, you're not the Don of NXT. Tony says, I'm the Don of NXT. I call the shots. So let's have a championship match next week. And Mello says, okay. And then Stax with line of the night. Hey, how about we soften these knuckleheads up, huh?
He did say it like that.
And Trick says, look, I don't care if it's two dimes, three nickels, four, five. I'll make spare change of you bums.
Best part of the whole segment was Trick. Wow, I got to give Trick his due. Great. Give Trick his flowers. He made fun of all these
Trick's
guys in one line.
Completely won me over, in the last few months.
At least
like,
on the mic, 100%.
He's great.
Yeah. Just a ridiculous promo. It's funny that this is taped, next week is taped as well already, and Two Dimes is here. So we're, watching him from beyond the grave in a weird way, because in this envelope, it's like, yeah, he says, go take yourself to a nice steak dinner, but, if you've seen Goodfellas, they have nice steak dinners in prison, or, like I said, the two guys behind Joe Pesci, we're going to see him again next week, and then that's it. But it's not like they've already taped stuff, so it's just weird. But pretty weird segment, and then Trick coming in and just roasting them by calling them all these nickels and dimes and all that stuff. Thought that was funny, but I can't say I'm too excited for Tony and Carmelo, but like it kind of needs to happen. But they'd keep doing this heel thing with Tony versus Tony. Other heels, but at least it's not the Great American Bash match because I still think that's solo.
Yeah, no, this is just a quick stopgap TV thing, and Santos will probably cost Tony somehow. Inadvertently somehow. We get a quick Toxic Attraction promo from the Toxic Lounge. Mandy saying that after their match tonight, Roxanne will be begging to give her contract back. JC says Cora and Roxanne are perfect together as they're both failures. And Gigi says Indy is the most depressing person she's ever met. And she'd probably be talking to this plant and boring it to death if she was here.
Yeah, I didn't really like this promo too much. Toxic Attraction, I feel like they are regressing.
Yeah, I agree.
In a weird, strange way. I want to like them so much, but yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't really evolved. It's been the same thing, and it's kind of boring, and they're not great at it.
They're not the attraction. No. They're just toxic. They had a great video for the return of John Cena.
Yeah.
With using a Fort Minor song. Shout out Mike Shinoda, but I haven't heard this song in forever. It was used in like every... Mike Shinoda, no relation. Linkin Park. They used Fort Minor, remember the name, in like every trailer and commercial like in the 2000s, 2010s. And using it here for John Cena coming back. Is he going to whoop Theory's ass? Is that what's going to happen?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love possibly. It. Shout out Fort Minor.
Yeah. We go to our NXT Championship match. Bron Breakker defending against Duke Hudson. And Duke jumps the bell to try and get the better of Bron. But Bron gets back up, tells the ref to ring the bell. He hits a big suplex and big shoulder blocks. And Duke dives at Bron, but he catches him in that big power slam, which always looks great. Then spears Duke out of his skin. I thought this spear looked awesome.
Kills him, yeah, out of his boots.
Like, Duke's a pretty big guy as well. And he picks him up, gets him in the military press power slam, absolutely murdered Duke Hudson, 1-2-3. I thought this was an awesome squash, actually. I thought Bron looked great.
Yeah, one thing that worked on this show was this. Bron needs to stop doing the, like, half-and-half matches, like the last one with Duke. It was so just boring. It needed to be like this. Treat Bron like Goldberg and just, like, crush people.
He got
like
that
this.
Loss and... Duke's been gloating about the win, no matter how he got it. So it's like, all right,
boom,
we'll do the match.
And then sets up
confidence as the champ, I thought was really good.
And then again, sets up for the bigger match at the few weeks at the Bash with this promo.
So Cameron Grimes then comes out and says, Bron Breakker, I really wanted to finish that conversation you started earlier. Ever since you've come to NXT, you've taken it by storm, and we haven't had a chance to talk. And where I am in this business, I don't care, because I'm going to say what everyone is thinking. If you didn't have that last name, you wouldn't have that championship. And I respect the hell out of you. I ain't saying you ate off a silver platter, but you ate better than me. And you've got a dad who's a Hall of Famer who got to sit right there and watch you win the title. Whereas my dad was watching from up there. He was watching down. And you got everything because of your dad. And you got to, because he's his career. He got you here. And every time you step in this ring, you do get better and better. But you don't have my heart, and I would put my heart against any man or woman in this business. And I'm tired of people calling shots and cheesy catch lines and things. But I'm going to say, if I'm going to the moon, then strap up that rocket. Cameron Grimes versus Bron Breakker at Great American Bash. Let's do it.
And Bron accepts.
Accepts.
So yeah, that's our main event for the Great American Bash, July 5th, Tuesday night.
Awesome promo.
Oh, great stuff,
This makes sense, like Grimes. It's something actually you don't see enough in WWE, is people kind of like caring about losing something, like dropping a title. They just, often you move on as if they never had it, you know? Grimes, I think we've really seen this evolution of character with him. I thought this was a really strong promo. Kind of like borderline heelish, but not heelish, just honest. Like, hey, I want the title. I think I deserve it.
It's more heels that have actual reason. Like your bad guys in your movies that actually have reason to be bad.
Kind of like this to me felt like sort of, you know, when Hangman Page just had a bit more like bite in that Punk feud, where he's like, no, like, it's just a bit of an edge, and I thought it really worked. I thought
it's also
this
like
was the best thing on this show, from the squash to this. I thought this was very solid.
I think you should have ended with this.
Yeah.
With the face-to-face stare down at the end with him accepting. Because, yeah, the match was a squash, but Grimes, the whole thing from... was the really only good real part of this show. The real meat of this show was this. And it does set up this match. And it won't be a squash match. That'll be an actual match.
Yeah.
And Grimes will bump around for him, make Braun look $1 million. And then I think that's when we've been saying it for a long time now, but Grimes needs to go to the main roster after that. 100%. Like, sink or swim.
He's shown how versatile he is.
Yeah, exactly.
As well. Like,
he can do the Ric Flair deep promos. He can do the crazy, funny comedian stuff, like, well, everything.
He's someone, you know, like, even if they were to, which they will, probably, completely repackage him, new name, new everything.
This is his new name already, though.
I know, but they've changed other people's new names.
So
before.
Stupid.
It is.
Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes.
But I trust, like, he is someone that you could throw any old shit at him and he'll make it work. So I think he could actually do pretty well on main roster.
We'll see. But yeah, this match should be good too. I think that is a big match for Breaker and Grimes to have. I think they'll put on a good one.
Yeah. We then see Tatum Paxley backstage, who's approached by Ivy Nile, who says she notices the work she's been putting in and to keep it up. So yeah,
keep up the good work.
It's been the
Tatum
story I've been wanting back. Like, what,
can't
what
wait for Tatum
to
Paxley to join the Dynamite. Yeah.
When Roddy comes in.
Roderick Strong has been yelling at the Diamond Mine Creed brothers because they've been nice people.
Yeah.
And here he goes, what are you doing? This is an SNL character.
Why are you talking to her?
Stop being nice to her. You should be bullying her and teaching her a lesson.
He's got his hood like half on. He like looks
this
ridiculous.
This is like, this is a character from Saturday Night Live. This is pretty much Chris Farley. You want to live down in a van by the river? What are you doing? This is him just like over the top being mad that she was being nice to someone.
Yeah.
So silly.
And he starts talking about no excuses. That's the Diamond Mine way. And that's when the Creeds come in and they're celebrating and they go, oh, thanks, Roddy. And you go, wait, why did you shake their hands after the match? Creeds say, you know what, Roddy, you were right. So we've taken it upon ourselves to book you a match. Ooh. You guys a match for next week. And Roddy starts playing up his injured ankle again. And Ivy goes, no, Roddy. No excuses, right? That's the Diamond Mine way. And Roddy runs off with Damon Kemp and the Creeds and Ivy. Ha ha ha. Laugh. We got him.
So is it Roddy and Damon versus Idris and like,
yeah, Brett, Malik? I didn't catch. Was it Idris and Malik or is it Pretty Deadly?
Oh, true.
Because that was the match they ducked, wasn't it?
I think we're going to get some, like, someone's leaving this group, I think.
Yeah.
We're having
a split.
Yeah, like, I think the Creeds could just be the Creeds without the Diamond Mine, like, whole thing.
Well, it looks like Ivy's kind of
with them. Which is cool, yeah, she's good.
Maybe Tatum as well, and then you have
Damon
and Roddy going their way.
Just love Roddy being over-the-top, exaggerated, mad for things. What are you doing? What? So funny. The dude Roddy. He's always the bro-y, like... Yeah.
We see Mackenzie Mitchell backstage with Mr. Stone, Sophia Cromwell, and Von Wagner. And Mr. Stone talks about Brooks Jensen and... Because, was it? No, Josh Briggs had the win over him.
Because Jensen used the cast.
That's right. And he says, Brooks' name should be Liar Cheater Jensen.
He's a cheater.
Doesn't quite have a nice ring to
it. No, I didn't really understand what he was going for there. But.
He says that's the only way he beat him, by cheating. And next week, it's Von versus Briggs one-on-one again. And this time, no one will be at ringside. And we'll see who the true winner would be.
Yeah, I thought Stone was trying to do something that was funny with the, you're like a cheater.
Yeah.
Because you know like those memes like, cheater lives here and stuff like that. But it's like, I don't know what he was going for. Like the Brooks Jensen is like the cowboy. Like this is the cowboy crew.
Yeah.
The horse people. He could have went like something like your cheating heart. Or something like that, but he didn't. And it doesn't make me too excited for this match again. But hey...
Hey, I loved it the first time.
Jensen,
so run it back.
Jensen's hand is not broken anymore.
No, you had the fake cast.
So now it's Vaughn versus Jensen, one-on-one. No interference from any team. It's the match we've been all waiting
for. It should be good. Should be a good one.
It should be match of the year.
We go to...
I mean... We talked about the highlight of the night, but we would be reminisce if we're... I mean, we got to talk about this.
Reminisce?
I don't know. Just talk about this. Vinci Vedici Vedici.
It's Giovanni Vinci. And it's some guy that looks awfully like Fabian Aichner. It's
Johnny Sins.
Makes his entrance.
If you know.
He's walking to the ring and then he'll stop and there'll be a flash.
Snapshot.
And he'll be like smiling at the camera.
It freezes it. It freezes, it snapshots
like a photo.
Him.
And it says, Vinny.
Vinny.
And then he's walking down, stops again.
Snapshot.
Has a little smile.
It freezes, and then he moves again.
Vidi. Then he's moving again, and then gives the thumbs up.
Vinci.
Veni, vidi, Vinci, which That's means right. I came, I saw, I conquered. And, well, yeah, we get to the match. This was Guru Raj.
Guru Raj.
And big squash from Giovanni Vinci here. He does his, like, armbar onto the mat with the triple kip up to get up, which always looks impressive. Followed by this big run up, just building up speed, leading to a shoulder tackle, and just yells, come on, slaps Raj. Raj does manage to get in a drop kick, but then there's a big springboard cross body from Vinci, followed by some chops, and then he hits this crazy, like, sit-out last-ride powerbomb.
Huge.
The height he got on him.
This was Kota Ibushi style.
Kota Ibushi, he, like, spun with it as well. This looked awesome.
Yeah, awesome finisher. Like, the sit-out Liger Bomb always looks good, but Kota Ibushi always gets the height on you and sits out with it. This guy had that and some and a rotation on it, which just looked super nasty. Yeah, Johnny Sins is going far. Sorry, Fabian Aichner's... Sorry, what are we calling him?
Giovanni Vinci.
Giovanni Vidi Vidivici. Veni Vedi Vidivici? What's the catchphrase? It's confusing.
Veni Vidi Vici.
It's confusing because they're saying his name is Giovanni Vici, and then they keep saying Veni Viducci Bonavucci. Yeah, I love this guy. We've been singing his praises because he's been crazy. Since coming to WWE, the Cruiserweight Classic, as more chaos, zombie apocalypse outside our apartment today. You guys have got a great recording of tonight. I don't know what's going on out there. We're going to turn into the news. And
we were
like,
worried about having our AC on, ruining the,
and here we are,
the sound of it.
It's chaos.
The world is ending outside.
Yeah, sorry for the loud sirens. I hope people are okay. Yeah, I love this guy. Fabian Aichner, Giovanni Vici. He's great. Johnny Sins, great. Came, I saw, I conquered. The entrance made me laugh.
The entrance made me laugh, but I will say they let him be a wrestler here. You know, like we'll see. But I think they're going to take this guy somewhat seriously. I did find it funny how Vic was like, wow, what a debut. Like, first time.
Wow, welcome to NXT.
Welcome to NXT is what he says.
This guy's been here for years.
He's been here for like 6 years.
He's been in WWE for a long time. Yeah. He had the contract where he was still allowed to wrestle in other places for a little while there. So, you know, he does have his other indie stuff, but he's been in this farm here for a little while. Yeah, he was across the pond and stuff too. But we've been following this guy. We've always sung his praises. He was put in the tag team with... Kaiser Sose. Yeah, like, he's just been killing it. And seeing the little flashes of the wrestling here is great. But now they're giving him a character. And it actually, like, made me chuckle when the entrance with the snapshot. So, yeah.
He's been there 6 years.
6 years. All my money is
classic.
Giovanni Vici. Yeah, let's go. Came, he saw, he conquered. Let's go.
Yeah, this was good. This was a nice, like, little block, I thought, of NXT on this show. This was the best bit.
And then it died a horrible death.
We see Solo Sikoa, who says, it feels good to call shots. I want the North American Championship so much. And Grayson Waller interrupts, mocks the Oos chant, and says that Apollo Crews carried him in that match last week. And Solo says, all right, well, how about you and me? Let's fight next week. And Waller is like, sorry, mate, what? So Solo mocks him and goes, sorry, mate, what? And he's like, you heard. I'm going to fucking fight you next week. We're going to have a match, you and me, one-on-one. And Waller's acting like he's trying not to be scared, but is like, oh, yeah, sure. Sounds awesome. Sounds great. So Solo versus Waller next week, as you're checking the news to see what's happening outside.
I'm scared there's like a zombie apocalypse or something going on. There's more trucks coming. I can see in the distance. I don't know what's happening.
It's insane.
We're just going to keep live here from, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, Solo Sikoa versus Grayson Waller. Sure, it's the like heater match to get Solo to be like, hey, Hayes.
He'll win that and move on to North American.
I like how Waller said that he's the street champion from Australia.
Yeah.
Which, I wonder where the tough parts of Australia are. The outback?
I know, I think Australia's pretty tough.
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But like the outback?
Yeah.
The street, they have streets in the outback?
No, it's an outback.
Outback Steakhouse? Yeah. I'm excited for this match.
Yeah. No, it should be all right. We go and see Idris Onofi and Malik Blade. And Malik's looking pretty down. He's in his sweater vest. And he's looking pretty upset after their tag team loss. And Idris says, look, you win some, you lose some. Don't be too depressed about it. Let's go to the club. Let's blow off some steam. Let's have some fun. We had a good match tonight. When Cameron Grimes walks in and says, why are you celebrating? You lost. And they go, well, yeah, we lost. But, you know, we had a good showing. And we'll get another opportunity. Will you get another opportunity? You think it's just okay to leave before the show's over, before the main event? I get it, man. You got to get to the club. Look, you have all the athleticism in the world. You could be the biggest star this company's ever seen, but you're not hungry. So don't waste your time, because Cameron Grimes doesn't waste his.
Damn.
This is definitely something that's like happened in locker rooms over the years. Like young talent kind of going before the show ends and a vet pulling them aside and being like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, show some respect.
Stick it's definitely around. Been a
Be
thing.
Be hungry. Why are you out partying right now?
I mean, also, it's breaking the storyline. You're telling me Idris and Malik don't want to watch Mandy Rose in the main event?
True.
Hmm.
True.
We need the continuity police
that is
here
true.
In NXT. It's pretty funny. It's just kind of weird that it's on these two guys. When it's like you could do it on two guys who lost. It was Carlito who Ric Flair.
They did lose.
No, but like sorry. It should be bad guys, like heels that are doing it. Because I remember Carlito years ago on Raw. It was like, hey, Trish, let's get out of here or whatever. Or Tori or whatever. And Ric Flair was there. And he's like, oh, you. He was pretty much that. It was pretty much his promo. It was like, again, Grimes is taking Ric Flair promos for sure. But it was the same thing. Like, what are you doing? You up and coming kids.
But
like, you're not grinding.
No, I think. Well, they're trying to like. They're pushing Cameron Grimes a little heelish here.
Yeah.
You know, so he is a veteran there. And I think these two do feel young, and we've seen them messing around, you know, pretending to be other people. So I thought it made sense with these two and just kind of furthered Grimes's character and make us think like, I don't know if I like this guy.
True. You know? Okay. It makes me go, you should.
Whereas if it was to a heel, yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's like tough luck. It's like, kind of dickish, but he's got a point.
Also, sorry, no one wants to stick around for this lame main event. Sorry.
We see Stax and Two Dimes, who they're going to be facing Mello and Trick Williams. I like Mello hit a move and does his basketball shot pose, and the crowd started chanting airball to him, which I thought was quite funny. Stax throws Mello against the ring steps. Should be called steps, shouldn't he? Not Stax.
Nice.
There's a quick tag from Stax and Two Dimes as they stomp down on Mello. Mello then barrel rolls and hits a big clothesline. Trick hits this kind of cool looking spin kick, followed by your favorite move, the flapjack. And then Cruz del Toro gets involved. He climbs up top, flies off, but accidentally high crosses Stax. And then Mello hits his guillotine leg drop off the top for the win.
For the record, flapjack is not my favorite move, just so we're clear. This was a match that took place here. I've been down on Trick Williams, but I think he has improved. Definitely improved on the microphone and even in the ring. They pick his spots for him.
Like, commentary keep him pointing out
which
as
is true,
well. Like, 100%. He's the guy that's like improving and clearly working hard.
100%. I don't see too much in Stax and Two Dimes. It's very like walking around and punchy and stuff like that. It was a quick match, thankfully, and it had that finish that still is like dragging on this like family versus family. It's basically, oh, we accidentally cost you the match. Like we've seen this a million times, so it's not too exciting. But yeah, it lets Hayes have a win here.
Yeah, this didn't really do anything for me at all. Yeah. It's good to see Trick. We don't see him wrestle a great deal, so it is good to see how he's coming on. Stacks and Two Dimes, I kind of liked in their first couple of matches, but really didn't notice anything from them here.
Yeah.
This was a pretty nothing match.
Well, then Tony tells what? He's mad.
So he's mad, and he says he's dressing down Legado, well, his family backstage. He says, when I say to do something, do it. And Cruz starts to laugh, and he's like looking at Santos. And so he's, why are you looking at him? What are you laughing at? He's not your boss anymore. I am. Be better next time. And next time is next week when I beat Carmelo Hayes for the North American Championship.
So he's kind of like, hey, you're all going to be present, and I need you to make sure I win.
Fall in line. Yeah.
Next week is, so it's Tony versus Carmelo. Also, Alba Fire versus Lash Legend. I know everyone's excited about that. Waller versus Solo. And
we're getting Briggs Wagner.
Wow. Yeah. Stacked show. Yeah.
I will say, I didn't mention earlier, when Brooks came out for Fallon's match, he's trying, he's like growing up, you know? He's got a cowboy hat. Yeah. He was looking good.
He's on Tinder, maybe?
Yeah.
Find Brooks girl, still the hashtag. There was also clips of NXT going back on the road. There was some story coming out of that Tony D'Angelo suffered some sort of wrist injury, but I mean, he's wrestling next week, so I guess he's fine.
This is taped.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, true, right. It's cool that they're on the road in these little tiny, like, little indie-looking shows, but good. I think that some of these guys need to, and gals need to.
Yeah, it's going to help them all.
Yeah, 100%.
We go to our main event. It's Roxanne Perez, Cora Jade, and Indy Hartwell taking on Toxic Attraction. There's a spot all six are brawling in the ring as we go to commercials. JC has Cora in a full Nelson, and then hits her, we've seen it before, her like rolling headbutt, followed by a senton. JC and Roxanne start trading elbows. Then Indy comes in to face off against Mandy. Gigi and JC try to get involved. Mandy hits quite a like sloppy looking spine buster to Cora for a two count. Then Cora's getting beaten down for a while. She makes the tag, but the ref's distracted, so doesn't see it and doesn't allow it. Gigi then applies the bow and arrow to Cora, and then Cora finally makes the tag to Perez, hits a Luthes press to Gigi, and then a side Russian leg sweep for a two from Gigi. Then Hartwell smacks Mandy across the face. Perez hits a super kick to Gigi, followed by the top rope senton from Cora, and then Cora tags Gigi back, tags Roxanne back in to pick up the pin on Gigi. I don't know if it was selling or Gigi was really hurt from this senton because she was screaming. And
what happened?
I don't know if I feel Roxanne was maybe meant to be tagged in to then follow up maybe with a code red for the finish, but saw she was hurt, so just pinned her.
Really abrupt at the end, I thought.
Yeah, like it sounded bad. I haven't read anything about Gigi being injured. Have you?
No, I haven't. So, but we'll look to that because it cut away from her as well.
Yeah,
it didn't show her
the replay. You saw,
which is okay. Yeah.
Okay. Gigi suffers scary injury during NXT taping.
Jeez, it's probably from that senton.
Yeah, it looked like she landed on her arm. Sorry, trying to read up. I'll have a look while you giving your thoughts on that.
Yeah, not too many. I didn't really care for this match as well. It kind of reminded me of the opening match of this show. I don't expect too much out of Toxic Attraction and the wrestling, and it was pretty much the same thing. There was a few cool spots, a double super kick from Cora and Roxy to Gigi at one point, which was pretty cool. And then later, Gigi ended up eating another super kick, and then that senton. It was fine. It's clearly going forward to, it's the rinse repeat of, hey, these three people are going to face Toxic Attraction and be in the feud with them right now. And it's worn tired like three versions of it ago. Mm. So it really is the same copy-paste into this
We need
story.
To get this title on either Cora or Roxanne.
It's going
to
be Roxanne, you know? and then Cora turns on her, is how I would imagine. So.
I see that. Cora's already being a little annoying
and
obnoxious. So,
oh, remember when we were doing this? Remember? Yeah, it's all like,
So, yeah, I couldn't get into this match, really.
Couldn't get into this episode.
This show, I'm definitely the one who's, like, higher on this show, and there are things I take away, and I've actually thought we've had some pretty nice wrestling on this show recently, but this was just... it didn't even have the humor for me of just that segment was so ridiculous. It was just boring.
Yeah.
I found it so boring. I felt the wrestling was just off. There was quite a lot of clunkiness on this show. And I'm not interested in some of the directions. And yeah, main event seemed to really just lackluster. And it does, from reading, it does seem like it was ended prematurely and that Gigi was hurt. But I can't see any kind of update on that.
Yeah, next week's episode's taped again. I'll try not to seek out these spoilers, but, you know, people spread these NXT 2.0 spoilers everywhere. I do feel like we're the only people that watch the show as of late. When it comes to, like, the wrestling world online and stuff, there's definitely no buzz. I had to tell three people at a bar the other day who were all wearing wrestling shirts that, yes, there actually was a NXT pay-per-view last week, and they go, no, get out of here, you're lying. And I was like, no, and they said, what was the main event? And they went, who?
Yeah.
So the interest is definitely dropping. This was a tough watch. There's stuff I can like some of the stuff. The Creeds is usually a hit for me. It wasn't really tonight. I would say the Braun setting up with Grimes is something good to look forward to. So let's be positive and look towards that match for the Great American Bash. And you would imagine that it's also Hayes and Solo Sikoa, and then who? Creeds versus Diamond Mine implodes?
You could do Kemp and Roddy.
Yeah.
Pretty Deadly will get a rematch at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Dyad.
The Dyad.
Don't forget the Dyad.
Never forget the Dyad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was NXT. Sorry we put you in such a miserable mood talking about this show. We have one piece of feedback here from Sean, who writes in, really good show tonight. Uh-oh. He says, as usual, the case is when the show is taped, everything connected and flowed really well. Perhaps this should be the approach moving forward. The show opened with a good tag match. Anofe and Blade were good, but the Creeds were clearly better, which came back around later in the night when Grimes questioned the challenger's drive to succeed. I'm also really enjoying the story of the tension in Diamond Mine and can't wait to see it blow up. The show closed with a surprising, excellent six-woman match in the main event. All six ladies did a great job, and I was particularly impressed with the improvement by Jade and Dolan and Indy Hartwell. Result did a good job setting up multiple possible scenarios for the end of Toxic's reign. Another standout tonight was Grimes. I really enjoyed his promo challenging Braun and the interaction with Anofe and Blade. This was the best Grimes has been on the mic in a while and really made me want to see that match at the Bash. His locker room leader speech to Anofe and Blade might have been even better than the Braun part. Sorry. The only real complaint is the continued focus on Vaughn and Lash Legend, who, as far as I can tell, have done nothing to deserve pushes they're receiving. Oh, and we get some linen robes for the Dyad. It's getting to be summer, and wrestling in the head-to-toe velvet can't be comfortable. This is true.
It's true.
This show was not comfortable. It was uncomfortable. Sean loved it.
Yeah.
But that's all right. At least he knows what he doesn't like, and that's Von Wagner and Lash Legend.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
They're your favorites.
They're my favorites. Yeah. Shout out the WNBA. Someone's going to be mad. That was NXT. That was Up Next. We appreciate you listening to us talk all about it. Of course, at Up Next Podcast on Twitter, we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group where we post the feedback and all that stuff and memes and just funny stuff. Go join that group. And patreon.com/upnext for all the other podcasts. We have Best Match Evers covering Sean, Razor. We've done Shane McMahon. We've done the Steiners. We've done everything. And we do retro NXT reviews, movie reviews, whole schedules out there. We would love some recommendations for Ring of Honor, New Japan, War of the Worlds / Global Wars. We looked at a few of the shows and the cards. We'll be putting up a thread in the Facebook group for you guys to vote for a poll for a review next week as well. But yeah, so many other podcasts. Destination X 2007 coming out this week. Go check all these shows out.
Do it. Yeah. Do it right now, this second.
That's right. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me Twitter and on Instagram. I am at the Bray D.
And I am at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And take your hood off.
Ahoy!